We're slightly ahead of time. This is a record. Are the Hong Kong police force here? Because they're not supposed to be here till 4 o'clock. So I just want to check, are they here? Secretariat, are the police force here? They're here.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Right. Fine. Thank you. All right. Let's move on then to item three. One of the issues we've talked about from time to time, and we wanted, if you like, to better understand, is crowd management at events along the harbour front. And the harbour, the Hong Kong Police Force, have very kindly agreed to come today and brief us on how they handle major events on the waterfront. We have with us Mr. Kwok, who's the commandant of the Police Tactical Unit. We have Mr. Ho, who's the Deputy District Commander, Yau Tim District. Ms. Che, who's Divisional Commander, Wan Chai Division. And Ms. Natalie Hong, who's Chief Inspector, Operations, Event Planning Team, Operations Wing. Welcome to you all, and thank you very much for coming in. Much appreciated. Obviously, this is a matter that's of great interest to the Commission, and we're looking forward to your briefing. I think, Mr. Kwok, you're going to lead us through, are you? Thank you very much.
This one. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Allow me to introduce myself again. My name is Frank Kwok. I'm with the Operations Wing at Police Headquarters. I have a few colleagues with me today. Mr. Ricky Ho, on my left, he's the Deputy District Commander of Yau Tsim District. And then further along, we have Ms. Kit Che. She's a Divisional Commander of Wan Chai District. We have prepared a presentation on crowd management operations.
Well, thank you for bringing such a senior team. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll be using a fireworks display operation to demonstrate some of the major crowd control, crowd management principles and operational considerations that we adhere to when we plan operations. So without further ado, I would invite Mr. Ho to give you the presentation.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank
Ho.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. And thank you, Chairman and ladies and gentlemen. I'm Ricky Ho, Deputy District Commander of Yau Tsim Police District. So in the coming 15 minutes, I'm going to talk about the crowd management operation of the police force in the Yau Tsim District. Basically, I will touch on the legal basis and what's the principle of our crowd management operations and the ground characteristic of Tsim Sha Tsui and Yau Ma Tei, and also the challenge and difficulty that the police faced during the crowd control operation, and what the police will do to mitigate all the risks and the potential problem.
Good.
And legal basis, very simple, under the Police Force Ordinance, Section 10, is the duty for police officers to preserve the public peace, and also to prevent the injury of life and property, and also it's our duty to make sure the peace in the public peace. So we are duty-bound to do something in order to make sure all the crowd operation is conducted in a smooth manner. Another legal consideration is we draw reference to some court ruling, in particular to the case of To Guan Han and Leung Kwok Hung cases. Basically, both cases mention that it's the right for every member of the public to carry out peaceful assembly, so that the government or the police need to take proactive action to facilitate all the lawful assembly in the public place. So I'm then talk about the crowd management principle. This is a very important and the core principle that is to maintain the crowd density at a very safe level. Actually, it's a lesson learned from the Lan Kwai Fong incident happened about 20 odd years ago. In the report, it was concluded that the police or organizer has to avoid the concentration of people at any time that could link to a sort of human piling up that would, you know, create some fatal or very serious incident. The report also mentioned that they're talking about some mathematics, basically, how we consider that a area is saturated, 100% saturated, that is five people to occupy a square meters of space. So basically, the people here will be, you know, packing a little bit of packing up, and then we should avoid that. 100% is not, you know, preferable. So that basically the maximum density the police will accept during a crowd control operation is four people occupying a square meter. Basically, the people are close to each other, but there are still a little bit of space between people. And another reference point is 60%. That means three people occupying a square meter. So that if that happens, then we will activate some policing measure in order to prevent the further escalation of people in a particular area. So the core principle is controlling the density. So how we could achieve that? So there's some secondary crowd management principles. Basically, we will divide the whole operation area into different zones and then different subzones to make sure that in each area, the capacity of 80% will not be exceeded. And we also will make sure that all the people are working in one direction. There will be no contra flow of people. And if necessary, we will, you know, cordon off some area and then create some buffer zone in order to make sure that the people got some place to go if the density is too crowded. And we have to monitor the crowd very frequently and make sure that the density is not exceeding 80%, so that we will have spotter at the ground to, you know, to report the situation of the crowd very frequently. And another very important point, we have to communicate with the crowd on the ground by using PA system and also some big signage to make sure that people could know what is happening on the ground, and if there's any danger, they will avoid to going to a particular area. The other very important principle is we would, you know, walk around the ground to make sure that, of course, because the road design may not be for the purpose of a large number of crowd appear at a particular location simultaneously, so that we will identify some choke points. That means the bottleneck of a road, of a pathway, so that we will deploy some police officer there to make sure that there will be no overcrowd at a particular point. And also a very important thing is we have to, you know, at all time, at least a few will have to be here with no people there, so that if something happens, there will be a contingency plan in place, or the emergency vehicle, ambulance, fire engine, could go into the location as soon as possible. As mentioned by Gosser, we would take the firework displays as an example because it's the most frequent and the largest scale of operation carried out in Hong Kong from time to time, crowd control operation. So that I would take it as an example. So this map basically shows Yau Gym area and also Hong Kong area. Basically, on the Kowloon side, it covers the area for the police operation during the firework display. And you can see that Zone 1 basically is the Tsim Sha Tsui waterfront area, our promenade area. And Zone 2 is the Tsim Sha Tsui east area. Zone 3 is the center of Tsim Sha Tsui. And Zone 4 is Jordan and Yamade area. And Zone 5 is Hong Ham area. Basically, it covers the ferry piers and the bus terminal. As mentioned, 80% of, you know, density is the maximum. We could not allow more people than that. And whenever the density is over 60%, we will then put some measure in place to make sure that the crowd will not be further built up. And what's the challenges? And basically, for Yaojim, because Tsim Sha Tsui is considered as the most suitable location for viewing the firework displays, because of you know, the building on the Hong Kong Island is forming a very beautiful backdrop for the firework displays, and people tend to go to Tsim Sha Tsui area instead of go to Hong Kong Island. And also, Tsim Sha Tsui is a very busy area, even without any, you know, event. The traffic is very busy during the daytime and also during the night time. And the road design in some of the locations is not very good. There are some choke points we have identified. And also, we have to mention that doing this kind of operation is very manpower intensive. And for Yaojim, we need to deploy 1,000 police officers on the ground and also at the command center in order to facilitate the people to going there safely. And in particular, during the Chinese New Year, the challenge will be even greater because we have to police a series of events, including the flower market, the parade in Tsim Sha Tsui, and then the firework within a few days. So talking more about the mitigating measure of the police, how we could, you know, manage this kind of firework display. And first thing we will do is wall closure in order to enlarge the space that the people can stand and watch the display. And traffic diversion, very, very important. It's a side portal of wall closure indeed. And also, as mentioned, we have to keep a emergency vehicle access to make sure that if something happened, the police vehicle or ambulance could go there in a timely manner. So a little bit more about wall closure and traffic diversion. Basically, we will divide the wall closure into five phases. And the wall will be closed and then pedestrianized according to the situation. And the traffic will be responsible for monitoring the situation. And then once the wall is closed, we will announce it to the public through radio and TV. This line shows the setup of emergency vehicle access. Basically, the Kowloon Park Drive, Chat Ham Road, and Hong Lun Road, and Salisbury Road will be keep free for many people so that the emergency vehicle could use it whenever necessary. As mentioned, our mitigating measure will depend on the density of people, so that basically we will divide the control measure into three phases. The first phases is FIFO, and then we will carry on some access control, and then at the end we will have a crowd dispersal. Going into the details, basically, if the density is below 60%, that means in a square meters there is less than three people, we will have a free access. People can go there freely without any police interference. But when the people, the density gradually build up and reaching about 60%, we will then try to, you know, slow down the people going there and then gradually implement some control measure. For example, just closing the entrance of the wall or pathway to the area, so to make sure that the people will not be built up at there very fastly. And then we will then carry on some cordon and then tighten full control to make sure that no more people will go into the area, but people can go out from the area so that to decrease the density of the people there. And we are not alone, basically just with the manpower of Yaojun Police District, we only got 900 people, we cannot do the job. So that we need the service from other police colleagues, for example, emergency units, police tactical units, and then other units, even for the marine police. And also we need the service from other government departments. That's all from me. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I think very useful and very informative and clearly a very important role. What I suggest we do is let's collect. I think members will have questions or points they want to make. So if you don't mind noting these points down and then answering them collectively in a few minutes. I've got a few points I'd like perhaps you just to help us understand better. First of all, contingency plans. We all hope nothing goes wrong, and it hasn't done, and you've done a great job so far, but you know, things do, from time to time, do go wrong. So maybe you can just talk to us a bit about contingency plans, the what-if scenario as I describe it. Just help us understand what you have in place in terms of mechanisms for contingency. I think also it'd be quite interesting to... I see we have Ms. Che from Wan Chai with us. You focus on Tsim Sha Tsui, but a lot of the big events take place on the central waterfront. And at the moment that is, as you know, somewhat disturbed by contractors, works, etc. I imagine crowd control, crowd monitoring in that area is somewhat different to Tsim Sha Tsui. So it'd be interesting to have some thoughts on the challenges of central as against the challenges of Tsim Sha Tsui. Also, again, from your perspective, the impact of the closure of the Avenue of Stars, has that had a major impact on how you handle the numbers of people? Because that was a major outlet, if you like, or a valve for people watching events on the waterfront. And then just, I'm interested, difference between night and day, crowd control in the daytime when you can see things far better, I imagine is easier, but just interested to know if you have different measures for night and day. And finally, the weather. Again, this probably links to contingency, but if there's a major storm when you have a major event, how do you cater or how do you cope with that? So, sorry, there's quite a lot of questions there, but those are my points anyway. But members, anything that you would like to ask or anything that you'd like to get more information on, please. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Chair, and also thank you for the presentation. I just got a question. The presenter mentioned that emergency vehicle access under the topic of mitigating measures. But now we are talking about the harbourfront areas. I remember during a discussion at a task force meeting, a member suggested whether by deploying fireboat in such areas would be even more effective. But some got some doubts. So I would like to seek your views on this point. in the harbourfront areas.
Okay. Use of fire boats. All right, thank you.
Yes.
Winston, do I see your hand up?
Mr. Kwok, Mr. Ho, and Ms. Chair, may I, on behalf of our Society for Protection of the Harbour, thank you and your police force for the excellent work you did with us. We have organized, over the past 10 years, 6 Harbour Day celebrations, and part of it involves a walk for the harbour. Many, many thousands of people took place. We walked from Star Ferry to the Wan Chai Golden Bohemia Square. But we used to have to go along the road. We would very much like to organize the next one, but to walk along the Central Harbour front now that the Central Reclamation is completed. So, first of all, my question is, do you think that would be possible, it would be permitted? And secondly, perhaps I should be replying to Ms. Chair for the permission.
Right. Some things you can take away. Don't worry, you don't have to answer them here. Freddie, please.
Thank you, Chairman. I just have a very simple question. I just want to know some statistics. Say, let's, for example, in the past decade, in your handling of all these big events, do you have any data that any member of the public accidentally fell into the water along the harbourfront, and if that ever happened, was it after any influence of alcohol or things like that? I just want to know any such data that you have in your record. You don't need to answer me now, but maybe it's you can supplement that later.
This relates to a discussion about railings, just to put you on notice. All right. Okay. Thank you. Members, any other questions? Please.
Thank you, Chairman. I suppose the principle just mentioned mainly really in principle. For example, 1 meter by 1 meter may contain 5 persons. But sometimes it should be flexible, I suppose, in respect to the location. For example, if the persons maybe on the footbridge, for example, and the emotion of the crowd may be very exciting. I suppose your control system may be different, right? I suppose so. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you very much. Any other questions for our visitors? All right, Mr. Mark, do you want to try and answer some of the points anyway? Thank you. Do it as a team.
Thank you.
Do it as a team, no problem.
Thank you very much for the questions. Perhaps I'd just like to very quickly go through some of the questions before allowing Ms. Kitchair to continue with the second part of the presentation, but just to clear some doubts in some of the members. Those questions I didn't address, we will leave it to the end. First of all, maybe we start with the last question, fresh on everybody's mind. Flexibility in applying those principles, definitely. There are always exceptions to any principles we apply. Mr. Ho mentioned crowd density, relying on previous disaster studies. In applying our planning considerations, definitely crowd density is a key factor, but is not the only one we rely on. As mentioned by a member here, the crowd psychology, the crowd dynamic is a very important consideration, which actually Mr. Ho covered in his presentation earlier. The crowd dynamics is something we watch very closely. The nature of the event, why people gathered there, accessibility to alcohol of the crowd, things like that, definitely. The physical features of the location may dictate that we cannot allow so many people at a certain location. Also, the intention of the crowd, whether they have an intention of moving at any point, things like that, will all go into our planning of our countermeasures. What Mr. Ho gave you was the general considerations that would demonstrate some of the things that we can expect to happen in a crowd management scenario. And perhaps to aid your consideration of a design of a location or event. Accidental fall of participants into the harbour. Well, we will definitely look up some database we have and revert to you. But from my own experience, definitely from time to time we have people having too much to drink whilst in the vicinity of the promenade and ending up falling into it. And this is one key contingency we prepare for in large-scale operations, which is part of the contingency plans, I'm sure, with Mr. Ho's team. We will definitely take a look at the fresh application for the Harbour Walk. I'm sure if we can facilitate it, we will. The EVA question, I'll leave it to Mr. Ho later. As well as the weather and day-night difference in his planning of the operation. Also, the closure of the avenues of Star, in fact. Maybe after Ms. Kit Chair's presentation, we could also address the different challenges on Hong Kong Island as well. Okay. So, Ms. Chair?
Sorry, Ms. Chair, I apologize. I hadn't realized you had a presentation. My apologies. The floor is yours. Okay.
Thank you, Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, may I introduce myself? I'm Kit Chair and Divisional Commander of Wan Chai Division. For the coming 10 minutes, I would like to talk about how we plan and conduct the crowd management in Wan Chai area. First of all, have a look of the Wan Chai area. At the harbourfront, mostly it is in the tip of the Hong Kong Convention and Exhibition Centre. I'm sure it is no stranger to all of you here. It is a very nice long promenade in the area with the Golden Bohemia statue on the east side. And for the challenges for the crowd management, basically we have three main challenges. They are the physical characteristics, safety, and inconvenience to the public. And because of these three challenges, we have to do a walkthrough for each operation. And based on the walkthrough risk assessment, we come up with different mitigation measures. That is what one of the members have just asked, the contingency plans. First challenge, the physical characteristics. That is the map dated 2012. In 2 years' time, we have three new roads. In the Expo Drive East, and also a new area just next to the pier. And in another 2 years' time, we have new three roads again. One in the Expo Drive, one the P2 road in the middle, replacing the previous Convention Avenue. And also there's another one near the pier. So we have been having different changes in every 2 years. So it posed some challenges to us. So that is the photograph in year 2012, which is quite a strict rule. And in year 2014, so you can see there's construction work going on. And the construction work is still going on, actually. It is the Wan Chai Central Bypass and also the Sha Tin Central Railway Line. And it will take probably some time before they complete. So you can see for the construction site, because the road has been changing from time to time, that's why we have to get very close liaison with the construction companies to make sure by the time we have the fire, say, so we have the most updated situation of the different road constructions or the road measures. So you can see the construction sites are still there. And as I've mentioned, because of the construction sites are changing every day, so we have to do the recce, not only a few months before the operation, but also closer to the date of the operation to get the most updated situation. And as I've mentioned before, we have to have a close liaison with the different stakeholders, including the LCSD, HAD, and the construction site company and the MTR company as well. And they have been very cooperative, and we have been very, we are enjoying a very close partnership. And also because of the different geographical situation, so we have to design the logistics setup based on the updated situation. And we have to think about some enhanced measures, say the one-way flow, the sectorization, and also the emergency vehicle access, as mentioned by Horser. Because we are expecting large number of spectators for this crowd management operation, well, so we have to divide the whole area into different sectors and name the different sectors into buses, so it is easier for us to manage. And also, well, when we see people going into the area, we will first fill up bus 2 and 3 first. Because if they just gather around bus 6, say, for example, they won't move. And then we will have end up with empty spaces in bus 1 to 5. But people, you know, gathering in bus 6, 7, and 8, that won't be a very desirable situation. So that's why we have, usually, we have an OP, an observation post in the convention center, where we have a very good look at the situation of bus 2, 3, 4. So we will encourage people to go to bus 2 and 3 first, and then gradually fill up all the buses up to bus 8. Usually the latecomer will fill up the bus 8, of course. And that is the actual photograph of different buses. And we are very mindful that we are not filling every buses in a full capacity. We have to leave a emergency vehicle access the area in green, as well, the reason is obvious, and Horser has mentioned it, because in case there's a emergency situation, we have to leave a passage for ambulance or fire engine to come in. So the area in yellow is actually the viewing area. So this is the different buses, and for the red line, it is the Mills barrier set up by police. And we will not let the spectators to fill up the area closest to the promenade because of safety reason, in case they fall into water. And for that question about falling into water, later on I will tell you what measure we have taken. So that is the buses. So you can see the concept is the same. We have Mills barrier to put a just like a perimeter for different buses. And in between, we have to leave some space for people to go in between them, and also for police to go over to different buses in case something happened. And we leave an access point in each bus, so we can let people to go only through that access point. So that is the main idea of having different buses. For observation posts, as I mentioned before, there is one in the convention center overlooking the tip of the exhibition center. We have another one in Great Eagle Center. For that observation post, the purpose is to look at the situation along the Expo Drive East. For that one, for that road, the first, the observation post at convention center cannot have a good view about what happened in Expo Drive East. That's why we have another observation post to complement that difficulty. And if we spot that the spectator along the Expo Drive is around 80%, then we will divert the flow from east to west just follow the blue arrows to the western side. Usually the eastern side is more popular with spectators because we have the golden Bohemian statue there, so they think it is good for photo shot. But if the eastern side is saturated, then we have to divert the flow to the west side. But we have to bear in mind the timing is very important. If we put the diversion just 5 minutes before the firework begins, nobody will go, and we will receive a lot of complaints. So we have been very mindful how and when we will start to exercise that diversion. That is how we operate. We just simply shut down the road to the east and divert the flow to the west. And for the buffer area, as I mentioned before, we won't allow the crowd to stay too close to the promenade because in case they will fall into water. So we have a police passage or buffer zone highlighted in blue here so the people cannot get too close to the coast. That is one way to prevent them from dropping into the water. And also, we have the life-saving equipment along the coast. And in our briefing, in our own internal briefing, we have to brief our officers where you can find those life-saving equipment, just in case we need it. And also, for the promenade, there are some elevated viewing areas. It will also pose some potential danger to the spectators, because for those climbing up to the elevated viewing areas, they may fall, and because there will be crowd underneath them, so there will be another safety issue for people underneath them. So we prohibit people going into the elevated viewing areas. How we do it? We put up access control. We put meals barriers in the access point of those viewing area, and we have put the CS colleagues to guard this access control area so no people can go into the high point. Another challenge is not just the heights, but it's also the steps that matters. Because there will be some staircases leading to the promenade, so we are very mindful that no spectators can stand in the steps, because if they fall, then it can have some domino effect. And we put into CS officers to guard those staircase and elevator areas. And also, we have put into some reflective tapes to alert people that there are steps there, and you have to be careful. And also kind of a contingency plan. We have also liaised with St. John's Ambulance and AMS to put into different first aid posts along the different locations, so they can offer immediate first aid to those in need. And also another challenge is the insufficient public toilets. So far, there's only one toilet near the pier on the east side. For small-scale fireworks, there's only one toilet. So when we are on the ground, usually we come across with spectators asking us where can I find a toilet. And so it may pose some inconvenience, not only to the spectators, but also it will create a counterflow, because those people from the west have to go all the way to the east to go to the toilet, and they have to go all the way back to the west. It will create counterflow, and also it may pose much inconvenience to the spectators. So for the big scale fireworks, say the Chinese New Year fireworks, usually we have mobile toilets so as to facilitate the needs of the spectators. So to conclude, I would say when we police the crowd management operation in the harborfront area, we do not just take into account of from a perspective of police, we also take into account the sentiment of the public, and we have to think about how inconvenience that would pose to them, not only for the spectators, but also for other road users. Because for large-scale fireworks, when they disperse, usually we will close the flaming bridge. So we have to make sure the closure time is kept as short as possible, so as not to create inconvenience to other road users. And also, after all, it is a happy event. The fireworks is a happy event. So we would like the spectators and also other road users to have a happy memory back home. That's it from me. And if I can, I can answer one of the questions about the weather. We will have an agreement with the organizer. Usually we'll come up with contingency plan, say for the bad weather plan. If it is yellow rainstorm, say, so they will decide at that morning, and then they will send a message to all the stakeholders whether they will continue or cancel it. And usually for black rain and or red rain, they will cancel it. But for yellow, they will look at the situation. And also for typhoon, if it is typhoon number 3, they may consider continue or not. But definitely for typhoon number 8 or and above, they will definitely cancel it. So we have been working our mechanism. Well, for each other, the stakeholders, the organizer, everybody is in the loop to know what's going on.
Yeah, thank you very much. Very thorough and very reassuring. I know it's not your specific area, but could you just comment about, you've talked very thoroughly about Wan Chai and clearly things are well under control there. Just comment a bit about Central, can you? Because we have a whole plethora now of major events in Central, Symphony Under the Stars, a lot of concerts, etc., Wine and Dine, etc. Any particular challenges that you face with Central that you or your colleagues may have mentioned to you?
Chairman, I'm not in the best position to comment on another district. But what I've learned from them is, say the Under the Star event, actually it is quite confined to an area which is not closest to the coast. And it is managed by the organizer. And of course we will give our support, say the traffic arrangement and also the crowd management. But actually the organizer will take care about the crowd management as well. So we're working together. And seems like it doesn't pose much challenge on the harbourfront aspect, I would say.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. More comments,
maybe
Mr.
Maybe I try to answer some of the questions raised by your good sir or some of the members. And you asked about contingency plan. What's basically the contingency plan? And basically, we would reserve some extra manpower to deal with some, you know, unexpected situation, so that we got some extra policemen, maybe standby in the police station. And the most important point is communication in case of emergency situation, so that before the event, we will have meeting with fire services and ambulance. And during the operation, actually, their representative will sit in our command center, so they make sure that our communication will be okay. And also, if something happens, in addition to the emergency vehicle access, we will, you know, have some particular lagering point for the emergency vehicle, and then our traffic officers will lead them to the location as fast as possible. And also, most important thing is our contingency plan or operational plan has been in place for many years, so that our counterparts, I mean the fire services counterparts and ambulance counterparts, are well known about that. And another question is about the closure of a venue of Star. Actually, although the area is quite big, it could cater only 3,000 people, and because there is a weight-bearing issue, because it's a structure on the sea, it's not a piece of land, so that we could not allow more than 3,000 people on it, so that in comparison with the 3 100,000 people in Jimsajo area is only 1%, so that its closure did not have any impact on our operation indeed. And another question is, Kit mentioned about bad weather. If it's a very bad weather, most of the time the events may be canceled, or if it's still going on, it will attract much less people, so that for police, it's not a big problem at all. And a member asked about fire boats. Actually, we have this arrangement during the firework display. We recall one case that one of the boats that the firework eject was on fire many years ago. Actually, the fire boat is just adjacent to it and then can go there very quickly. Another question is spectator falling onto the sea accidentally. Just according to memories that in the last few years there was low such a case. Actually, we have a preventive measure in place to prevent this accident happened. And basically, we use police mules barrier. You know, police mules barrier. We will cordon off 1 meter width of the pathway to make sure that low people can go inside, and that this pathway is only used by police officers. So basically, the risk could be largely mitigated. Yep, that's all the answer. To see whether there's any further question.
Thank you very much. Members, any other points, questions you want to raise with the police force? Please. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. This is a very informative and informative section, looking at Harbourfront in a totally different perspective. So from Harbourfront Commission, we are more care about accessibility, convenience to the general public, share users, mixed users. It sounds like we're creating tremendous challenge to our police colleague. So what I want to hear from them is what is their view, what is the deficiency in terms of design provision we have at the moment in our waterfront area for them to, carry out their duty to control the cloud effectively. And also in their view, what is the deficiency or any provision that they may consider necessary for the future waterfront area to incorporate it into the design and construction so that they will help them to carry out their cloud control efficiency more effectively. I heard the provision of public toilet is one of the point raised up. A first aid post, police passage, observation post, for example. I think this will be a win-win situation if the member of Harbourfront Commission can understand more on this. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. KY?
Thanks, Chairman. I concur with Ivan that particularly Madame J's presentation give us new insight, not just on provision of toilets and things like that, but the trouble that the police has to get into to take precaution because of steps, because of building location at different level, of course, serve as reminders when we, in future, when we design the Harbourfront Promenade. Not to say that we have to avoid this, but I'm sure there must be ways of making it easier, safer, and at the same time easier for the police to manage when dealing with crowds. One thing that I may be biased because I live on the Hong Kong Island side, I work in the Hong Kong Island side, one thing that I think is a challenge to Madam Chair and also her colleagues both in the Central and Western District as well as the Eastern District is, apart from all these, say for example, fireworks to create crowd, they have to deal with an ongoing crowd control problem, particularly during Sunday and public holiday, is parade on Hong Kong Island, which come in so frequent. Strictly speaking, of course, the parades are normally go along the tram race, which is actually not part of the waterfront. But I do observe and experience get stuck up, particularly when you want to cross the road and things like that, vehicles as well as pedestrians. So actually, I assume that that will actually affect the accessibility to the waterfront because the tramway or the main thoroughfare has been sort of blocked because of this parade. Wonder whether Madame J or her colleagues can share with us how are these. Well, I mean, these are disturbances, and no doubt about that. Hong Kong is a free place; we can't stop that. But how that situation can be improved, or the inconvenience to citizens be reduced as far as possible.
Thank you. Thank you. Please, KK.
Thank you, Chairman. I just wish to ask whether the design, the architectural design or the layout design of the waterfront facilities are being, the police are being circulated before they are finalized.
Okay, thank you. I mean, it would be nice to minimize the use of Mills barriers if we could through design measures. It would be nice, yeah, because the Mills barriers are awfully ugly, if we're honest about it. Mr. Mack, Mr. Ho, Ms. Che, answers to the latest round of questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I wouldn't venture to comment on any deficiency of the design of the current designs because we haven't studied any of it before this meeting. But perhaps I could just mention some general principles that maybe you can take into account. Definitely, when we plan operations, we look at contingencies. So we would like to see attractions that you put into your design to be more spread out, so that we don't see the reason for crowds to converge into a single location. So if you're talking about a promenade, in terms of design, I would suggest that you make sure the attractions that bring crowds onto the promenade are spread out so that they can either see the attraction on one side or another side or maybe multiple locations along the promenade. That will help our operation. Less reasons for them to move from one place to another, less choke points to be created. Also, access to a certain area where you want crowds to gather, as mentioned by both presenters, steps, staircases, elevated areas. These are to be very carefully looked at and considered. Even two or three steps, little steps, at the edge of a, for example, a plaza could spell disaster. As I'm sure you still remember the disaster in Shanghai. That was caused basically by a few steps. Now, in terms of provisions, apart from public toilet, mobile toilet, a lighting system, emergency lighting system especially, because when you've got an event going on, perhaps you don't need the light, you need the light dim even. But when there's an emergency, you want the place to be lit up. If you have a design that has this kind of facility, that could be activated with the push of a button by the organizer or by the police command post, that will help a big deal. For the same reason, a public address system that is built in, that would be superb, because simply for things like a missing child, for example, or diversion, or emergency activation of our contingency plan, things like that. If you have in your design a public address system, a signage system, maybe you know, electronic signage system that gives information to the crowd without interfering with the event, for example. That would help our operation. In fact, if you've got design in your when you build these facility, we could see less reasons for us to put up the ugly Mills barriers. We don't like them either, because it's a lot of work carrying them, you know, from one place to another and then storing them afterwards. Mm-hmm. So perhaps I'll invite my colleagues to supplement. Anything from you? Oh, maybe just one more point to supplement regarding contingencies. Well, from my experience, and I'm sure my colleagues share the same sentiment with me, police operations, when we plan police operations, it's all about contingencies. At least 50-60% of our effort go into contingency. Things that the public don't actually see occurring. For example, when the operation, when the event goes on very smoothly, you don't see the contingency, the work that we put in. And a lot of the measures or preparation we put into, including placement of Mills barriers, for example, buffer areas, reserve manpower, reserve areas, things like that we put into place to allow contingencies to be activated when necessary. So sometimes we get organizers coming back to all the public, coming to us complaining that, well, why did you do this? Why did you do that? These are measures that we must put in place in order for our contingencies, numerous contingency scenarios to work. But since we prepare so well and the public have cooperated so well, most of the time these contingencies don't need to be activated, but we need to put them in place. And so I can assure the Commission that we will do everything we can to make sure these contingency plans don't need to be activated, but we have them in place all the time. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Mr. Ho, Ms. Che, anything to add?
Perhaps I can answer the questions by Mr. Leung about the many public order events happened in Hong Kong Island. I share the very same feeling as you do, because I also live in Hong Kong Island, I work in Hong Kong Island, so it is basically my home. 24 hours. And you've mentioned that would those public order events pose some inconvenience to those people going to the harbor front. I can reassure you that for those public order events, we have police officers manning the crossings, the big junctions, because we know that we are not just facilitating those participating in the public order events. We are also taking care of the other road users. So we are trying to meet the two ends, basically. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Ho, anything you would like to add?
Nothing from me. Thank you, Chairman.
Winston, one final comment, and then we draw a line. Thank you.
Ask Mr. Kwok a question. What you said just now was very important. And I think it brings me to think that perhaps we should build in a control point, because the central reclamation is a very large area. So the public may not know where to go to. But at least if you have a control point, it might be what the public will need. You know, lost children, someone fainting, or something emergency, some contingency problems. So right now, if you go to the central reclamation, you don't know where to find someone to talk to. Maybe we should design a control point to reflect your point.
No, I agree with you, Winston. Mr. Ho, Ms. Che, I think this has been very helpful, and thank you for sharing with us, and thank you for your suggestions. We will take them seriously. I think we should try and work more with you in terms of these design aspects in the future, and if we can come and talk to you from time to time, I think we'd welcome that. Come and get to sound you and get your ideas, but certainly your reaction to a certain design features, if you like, and certain design intents, I think, would be helpful. But I certainly am very reassured by what I've heard. I think we should be very proud of our police force, very proud of you. You do a great job. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, members. Mr. Chu, I totally agree with your suggestion. And for designs to be circulated to us, I definitely welcome that and will be glad to get involved at the design stage and hope that we could help. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you, the three of you. Thank you.